Hey, baseball fans, it's time to swing big on your bets this season. Step up to the plate with an odds boost token from BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. No opt-in is required. Just log into your BetMGM account to receive your odds boost token. Then, place a bet on any MLB game and activate your token. If your boosted bet hits, you'll score a bigger payout, no matter the showdown. BetMGM is your betting home for baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotion offer not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. For Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary and expire in 1 to 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line? Now 20% lower. Family plans? Also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number. Not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
This is the All Things Bama Podcast, powered by the Bama Central Broadcast Network.
Welcome in to the All Things Bama Podcast. I'm your host, Mason Woods, and as always, I'm joined here by my good friend, Joe Gaither. We have a fun show to get into today, a lot to get into from this week, but before we do any of that, I got to remind you all to follow both myself and Joe on Twitter at MAWoods_@JoeGaither6. Make sure to follow the show, give us a 5-star rating on whatever platform you get your podcast from, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon. Make sure you also go follow the Joe Gaither Show, rate it 5 stars as well, so you can hear whatever we miss on this program. On today's show, going to kick things off as we do a lot of times with a bit of recruiting news. Alabama was named a finalist this week for 2 more prospects.
Yeah.
And finally have a commitment date for one of the top targets in the next year's class. Want to also deep dive on our friend Hunter DeSivers Olympic flag football team, his all Alabama Olympic flag football team. You can go read about it on Bama Central, Alabama Crimson Tide on SI. I think he pretty much nailed it for the most part, but I do have one major gripe and we'll get to it. We're also going to recap Alabama's week at the SEC tournament in Hoover just a little bit. I know, Joe, you were there in person, so we will get into what happened for the Crimson Tide and whether or not they still have a chance at hosting a regional. Finally, there's a couple just odd and end stories from the week that I want to touch on briefly before we get out of here. But before we do any of that, Joe, doing all right today? Ready for the weekend?
Ooh, excited for the weekend. A little SEC tournament all week in Hoover. We're going to finish that up and get into the We hit it on our show, 99 days till football. There's no reason not to be excited.
When does it really start to like set in for you that, oh, God, we're basically at football?
The week of SEC Media Days that I had, I got to talk to these coaches and that coaches and figure out what player are they bringing and what did he do last year? Yeah, it's that week for me.
We're getting close.
Mid-July.
Yeah. Oh, so let's start. As we do, like I said, with a bit of recruiting news. A little bit of a slower week this week than last, but Alabama still had a bit of good news roll in. So, like I said earlier, 2 4-star prospects named the Crimson Tide this week as finalists. The first was 4-star athlete Jacob Eberhart. You can read about it, again, on Bama Central, Alabama Crimson Tide on SI. St. Louis native, 6'3", 200 pounds. Other top schools were Missouri, LSU, Oregon, Nebraska, Oklahoma, and Illinois. Number 18 athlete prospect in the nation, number four prospect in the state of Missouri. He does play on both sides, plays cornerback, plays wide receiver. If I had to label him, I'd probably put him as a wide receiver. 42 receptions for 795 yards and 15 touchdowns last season, and then 3 interceptions on the defensive end. Pretty good, but like didn't have was much more productive on the offensive end, probably, I would say. Don't know a ton about this guy. I think he is leaning a little bit more toward Missouri, just being a local guy, being from St. Louis. But we will see what happens there. The next prospect, four-star defensive lineman, Nolan Wilson. Again, check it out on Bama Central, Alabama Crimson Tide on SI. Was the next to name Alabama as a finalist. The Picayune, Mississippi native, 6'4", 240 pounds. Now, he's listed as a defensive lineman, but at 6'4", 240, maybe shift to edge rusher is in his future. We will see. I don't know if this is just Alabama's way of trying to potentially get smaller along the defensive line because they want to better defend against running quarterbacks and things. But, you know, I personally, at least given what we've seen in the past, maybe he projects more as an edge rusher with that kind of frame.
He's at 6'4", 240?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wasn't able to track down any stats for him, which takes me off on a tangent. It's so frustrating. Like, if you have a high school football program, post the stats for your players. I guarantee there is some ancient old man that comes every Friday night that just sits in the stadium by himself, and he would be more than happy to track your game for you.
Absolutely.
Like, it's just not that hard. Like, just post the stats. It makes my job a lot easier. I guarantee it makes recruiting the player a lot easier if there's coaches trying to reach out to him and things like that, if they have his stats available. I can't really understand why, you know, you're basically setting up your players for failure by not posting those kinds of things online for, you know, the world to see. But anyway, I do think Nolan edge rusher, regardless of whether I was able to find stats or not, is a solid player. I was watching his highlights. Pretty explosive off the ball. Like, he can rush the passer, can stop the run, really athletic. Kind of what leads me to think that maybe he's going to be more of an edge rusher at the next level. You know, he does line up on the inside some in high school, but you kind of just see the burst and the speed and the bend and stuff. And it's like, okay, yeah, this guy feels like an edge rusher. So we will see what happens there. He's supposed to be here on May 30th along with several other top prospects. You can find the full list on our website, Bama Central, Alabama Crimson Tide on SI. Wrote about it just the other day. Next weekend alone, I think Alabama is getting ready to host 13 prospects for official visits.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, big time. Won't bore you with the full list. Obviously, you can go read about it. But some of the notable names, wide receiver Booby Feaster, linebacker Sincere Johnson, KJ Ford, edge rusher, tight end Xavier Tiller, linebacker Braden Rouse. All of those guys have named Alabama in their final schools over the last two or three weeks or so. So, you know, not going to say that they're going to land every one of them, obviously, but I think there's a pretty good chance they get a couple.
13 prospects, you pull 3, 4, 5.
You feeling pretty good about
that? Oh, yeah.
I'd say you're feeling pretty good.
Okay, well, this is an ignorant question. I guess I should go to it. But what is the count there for Alabama commits? 2, 3, 4 for 26?
5 right now, okay. I believe is what it is. Or potentially getting a 6th one today from one Mr. Brian Harris, who is supposed to commit around, I think, 3 or 4 p.m. today. We will see. He has Alabama in his final schools. I think he's choosing between, I want to say it was Alabama, Michigan State, Oregon, and Penn State, maybe? Maybe those were the other ones?
Yeah, 24/7 has them at 5 commits, the 40th overall recruiting class.
Oh, they've dropped a little bit. They were 39 the other day.
Ooh. Got to go catch USC at number one. USC number one with 0 5-stars.
Yeah, we'll see how long that lasts. They've been hemorrhaging prospects for the last month, it seems like. I'm not sure how long USC is going to hold that number one crown.
Lincoln Riley does not seem like somebody. Like, he seems like I want to go play 7-on-7 summer camp for him, but I don't really want to go be a part of his program.
He feels like a snake oil salesman to me. You know, just I'm going to sell you this bill, this dream on, oh, you get to come live in L.A. and be this fancy. Oh, look what we had, Caleb Williams. Look what Caleb Williams did, you know. And in reality, it's just not that great out there. You're not getting developed as a prospect as much as you need to unless you are a quarterback. Yeah, I don't know that USC is necessarily the destination that all these recruits are wanting to go to. I mean, I think we're kind of seeing that with how many of them have decommitted over the last month or so. In other recruiting news, though, four-star running back Xavier Crowell, who we have talked about a lot on this show, and after weeks of anticipation now, has finally given us a commitment date. He will be committing on June 26th, choosing between Alabama, Auburn, Georgia, Florida, Texas, and Florida State. So, I mean, basically, like,
anybody good?
Yeah, all the good teams. You know, like I said, we've talked at length about this kid before, but just in case you have not heard, reclassified in January from the 2027 class, so it's only 2 years of varsity football so far in high school. And Joe, I did not prepare you for this, so, you know, take this as you will, I guess. You may remember from a previous discussion possibly on Mr. Crowell, but just like, if you had to guess, how many rushing yards would you say he has in 2 years of football? You know, what would be a good, this kid is a four-star running back, for pushing 5-star, what would be a good 2 years for you in your eyes?
As a sophomore, give me 900 yards. As a junior, give me, 1,200. So that puts me at 21 total.
3,700 rushing yards and 56 touchdowns in two seasons for Xavier Crowell.
What division is he playing? Is he playing?
He plays at Jackson High School. What is that?
I'll find it. Jackson High School.
I would imagine they're at least probably 4A. It's ridiculous. Like, nobody's touching Derrick Henry numbers, obviously. That man was an anomaly.
Jackson, Alabama. Okay, so.
But this is probably like as close as somebody could maybe get. 3,700 yards in 2 years is crazy.
4A. It's 4A football.
Not bad.
Yeah, I mean, you're playing against the ACAs over here. You're playing against the North Sides and over here, North Ridge.
Four-year high school football is pretty competitive.
Yeah, it's pretty good. 3,700 yards is nasty.
56 touchdowns. I think he's got almost 500 yards on as a receiver as well. So does have the ability to catch out of the backfield, though he is not utilized in that way as much. But, man, he's just a electrifying running back prospect. He's been in Tuscaloosa multiple times this year. He was here in February for Junior Day, and then again for A Day in April. It is worth noting, I think, that he originally announced that he was changing his commitment date shortly after his trip to Tuscaloosa for A Day. Didn't have any other visits between that. So, maybe I'm reading tea leaves. Maybe I'm kind of projecting here, but I think that visit maybe had something to do with him shifting that date up. Alabama is his last official visit on the list for this summer, saving the best for last, maybe. He'll be here on June 20th, also going to be going to his other schools, scattered throughout the summer here. I think he's is starting with Auburn. I think Auburn's first on the list, which can't bode well for the Tigers.
Yeah, go ahead and see Auburn, get all the perks and say, all right, had a great visit, going to keep on going on my recruitment.
Yeah, so he will be in town basically the last official visit weekend of the summer. He'll be here with five-star cornerback and current Bama commit Jordan Edmonds, as well as four-star cornerback and current USC commit Elbert Hill, which not exactly sure where he stands in Alabama currently. I think they were pursuing him relatively hard for a while. He only committed to USC like earlier this month. So possibly that is still a fresh thing. That is a little, room for maybe there's some wiggle room there. I don't know. I haven't seen confirmation one way or another, like if he's canceled this visit or anything. So as far as I know, he's still set to be here. So we will have to see if Alabama can maybe earn that flip. We just got done talking about USC losing a bunch of players. Maybe this will be another one to add to the list. But let's pivot now to probably the most fun thing that we can talk about. Our friend Hunter DeCiver on Bama Central, Alabama Crimson Tide on SI writes yesterday, which he had a busy day yesterday. But Hunter writes, the All-Alabama Olympic flag football team makes his projections for the team, quarterback, wide receiver, running back, linebacker, corner, defensive backs, everything. I think he pretty much nailed it. I do have one gripe, though, and it starts right at position number one, quarterback. I think Hunter made a very valid I think Hunter's thought process was very valid here. You value speed over everything else. Flag football speed is obviously going to kill. However, I think with quarterbacks specifically, Hunter put Jalen Milroe there. I didn't even say that. Hunter puts Jalen Milroe at quarterback. I don't know that Jalen Milroe is going to be able to do what you need in flag football here. I don't think he has
not the Olympic level.
No,
here.
He doesn't have the wiggle that you need. You need to one be able to make guys miss. You need to be able to have that kind of shiftiness, that movement in your hips, and then also be an accurate passer. That's not something he was really ever able to do last year. I think there's so much better quarterback options that have come through the program here.
Yeah, see, to me, the wiggle is good and is nice, but if you're quarterbacking flag football, the way I understand this is you get 7 seconds unless you are announcing I'm rushing on this play or something. I think you have to declare it somehow, some way.
That makes sense.
But you get like a couple of seconds free. I don't want the first thing that I want is somebody who can process, somebody who can process and place the football. We talked about it yesterday on our show. It's Bryce Young.
Bing, 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 bing.
That's the easiest. Process information, get the ball out, and move to the next play.
Yeah, I think of all of the Bama guys that have come through over the last 15 years or so, guys that are still active, he is by far the most surgical in the pocket of any of them. Like it is just like watching a robot operate back there. Bryce Young just duh, 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 re, duh, duh, re, duh, re. Like it is just a thing of art. So, yeah, I do think that Bryce Young is really your only option for quarterback here. I would hear an argument for maybe Tua Tagovailoa, because I do think he has a good he was extremely accurate, you know, able to place balls really wherever he wanted to and, you know, take away anybody rushing at him. We don't have to worry about his brain, so he'd probably be pretty good at it. But yeah, I just couldn't get down with Jalen Milroe. That was my really that was my only issue though. You know, he went on to running back next, and I'll have to give credit where it's due because we missed this on your show yesterday. Hunter nailed this pick a million times over.
So
Jahmyr Gibbs is the selection. We went with Josh Jacobs on your show yesterday, which I think is a good pick still. But it's Jahmyr Gibbs. The top end speed is so valuable. The wiggle, the shiftiness that he has over Josh Jacobs, you know, it's just a little bit, just that other level. And, you know, Josh Jacobs is great and all. He can catch out of the backfield. He can be a dynamic running back. But I think what he does well is has a lot of power, too. And that's useless in flag football to me. Give me the guy that is extremely fast, the burner down the field that can make everybody miss. Yeah, Jahmyr Gibbs is your pick here.
Jahmyr Gibbs, the only other... Like, obviously not in his prime, because he's way past that by now. But what do you think about the Eddie Lacy spin move on a flag football?
You gotta
get my flag. He just gets that pivot.
Spin move. Cycle. That would be good. That could be nice. I could like that. I could maybe make... that could maybe work in flag football. Have you seen the clip of the... We talked, you know, that Darryl Doucette, the quarterback, the current quarterback for the American flag football team. He's got one clip where he gets out on a scramble and he like hits this, like he drops down to the ground so the guy can't grab his flag and he pops back up and spins. Like it's crazy. You know, he kind of just drops down to a squat. The guy reaches for his flags, misses, and he jumps back up. It's a nice move. I think there's a lot of nuance to the movement in flag football that maybe that spin would help out with.
Yeah, and if I'm Eddie Lacy, I'm running right at you. I'm going to make you think I'm running over you with no pads. Do you want to grab my flag or not?
Yeah. That'd be another thing, I guess. So maybe we do just get a bunch of intimidating guys and they just run straight at them and be like, just make them think they're going to run them over. That would probably scare me. That'd probably be enough to make me turn away in fear. Let's see. Wide receivers. I think it was really the same thing as running backs. Hunter took a pretty fantastic trio here. Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle, Jameson Williams. The only thing I can say is you may want to try to grab one jump ball guy, but I don't really know of active players who that would even be. I don't know that Alabama's really got an active guy
is
right
Cam
now.
Is Cam Sims still active? I doubt it. I don't think so. Sorry, I was yawning. Cam Sims, is he still with the Buffalo Bills?
Does not look like he's playing currently.
Yeah, that's like two or three years ago. Goodness.
Yeah.
The only deep ball, the only big jump ball guy, you said it yesterday on our show, is O.J. Howard, maybe Julio Jones. I mean, with Julio and O.J., they're both on the back end. We're just putting them in on the five-yard line to like...
I mean, I guess so. To be honest, do you even need a jump ball guy if you have Smitty, Jalen Waddle, and Jameson Wood? Like, you're just bombing it on the first play of every drive, and you're probably scoring.
Yeah, Waddle's running your slant across the middle. Smitty's going deep.
Nobody's catching him.
Smitty's going deep, and then Williams is... No. Williams is going deep, and Smitty's running a deep cross.
Yeah. Yeah, nobody's catching them. Get the ball in any three of their hands, and I don't think they're making, you know, what is it, 7-on-7?
It's 5-on-5.
They're making those five guys miss.
Right, it's 5-on-5. You want to play man or you don't want to
take your pick, buddy. Oh, moving on to the defense again. No problems really for me here. Hunter takes Will Anderson Jr. as the blitzer. I think that's valid. The only thing I think you could maybe question is: do you need anybody with any bit of physicality, or do you just want somebody who's going to be able to get there as fast as possible? So maybe you throw an extra safety out there to be your blitzer. Yeah, that's kind of my thought process, but I don't know that I'm going to tell Will Anderson he's not coming on the field, so I'll probably just let him keep that job.
He's pretty fast.
Yeah, he's pretty dang fast also. I would imagine, and again, I don't know what the rest of the world looks like in flag football, I would imagine Will Anderson's probably just as fast as almost anybody else he's going to face in these games.
Yes.
When I was thinking about that, I was not really even like taking into account that, oh yeah, they're not going to be competing against other world class athletes. It's just
Will ran a 4.640 at the 23 combine.
Yeah, he's fine. Yeah, he'll be okay. He can chase anybody down. Anybody outside, anybody. Yeah. All right. So perfect pick, I think, for that. Jahad Campbell was next as your off ball linebacker. I think another perfect pick from Hunter. just extremely versatile, can cover, can rush, can really just do anything, and, you know, hyper athletic, like kind of this new mold of linebacker that we've seen a lot where they're almost like a safety sometimes.
Yeah, and he can jump in there for Will Anderson and Will gets tired.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's a great pick.
What about, he's a little long in the tooth, but I like C.J. Mosley in pass coverage.
I do like C.J. Mosley. I mean, one of the most consistently solid linebackers the NFL has seen in the last 15 years or so. The guy, I think, at one point was averaging for the Jets like 10 or 12 tackles a game. Like, just a tackle machine. You know, the heart of their defense for a long time. I'd be fine with that pick, I think. And then defensive backs, the last group here.
Close your eyes and imagine what you'll look like 6 months from now. How's your hair look? The same? Now picture how your hair would look if you started using Hims. If you're picturing the same you as before, but with much thicker and fuller hair, you'd be correct. What can happen in 3 to 6 months? You could pick up a new hobby and get not that good at it yet. You could do about half of your New Year's resolution. You could learn a few songs on the piano or pick up bass guitar. Or you could start seeing thicker, fuller hair regrowth through Hims. Not bad for just 3 to 6 months. Men, if you're starting to notice your hair thinning when you look in the mirror, you're not alone. Life just gets busier and busier, and it can feel like there's not enough time in the day to do something about it. So, try Hims Hair Loss Solutions. You can avoid jumping through a bunch of frustrating hoops and get access to treatment without even leaving your home. Hims provides you with the convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary based on studies on topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Pat Surtain, Trayvon Diggs, Brian Branch is who Hunter goes with. My only concern is maybe Trayvon Diggs, just because
gambling too much.
Yeah, he's not actually a cover guy. He's a ball hawk guy who makes plays on, you know, underthrown balls and things like that. He's very good at that, don't get me wrong, but he does get burned because he gambles so much. Mm-hmm. But I think he's probably facing off against a quarterback that is much less talented than he's used to in the NFL. So that's probably extremely valuable. I think you would, if I had to guess, see a lot of inaccurate passes.
Yeah, I bet Trayvon Diggs.
He would eat.
I bet Trayvon Diggs baits a lot of these quarterbacks. Oh, your man's open. you guys open.
Yeah,
you
five can, interceptions you a
can,
game.
You can squeeze it in there. Throw it to him. Throw it to him. Please.
Yeah. So I'm probably fine with taking my chances on his ball hawking ability. Brian Branch, you know, just another guy who is able to just has a nose for the football, can play in the slot as a cornerback, also can be a safety. And then Pat Surtain is a given. You have to have Pat Surtain on this team. Best cornerback in the NFL, I think. Best cornerback probably in the world.
Is Marlon on there too?
I think he had Marlon as an honorable mention, just because of age. I think he took Brian Branch over Marlon Humphrey.
That's a bad decision.
I don't know. I think let's see. Who did I have? You sent me that. What do they have? For my five, I picked for my five on defense. I couldn't decide between Minkah or Xavier McKinney.
It's Minkah.
Probably.
But your list. Go ahead. It's your list.
Pat Surtain, obviously. I took Brian Branch, Will Anderson, and Diggs.
Yeah.
But I could hear the argument from Marlon.
Yeah, I guess now that you say that, I don't know where I'm getting Marlon in there.
Yeah. And yeah, Minkah probably is over McKinney, but man, he was so good last year. And if he does it again this season.
Yeah, led the league intercept. You're right. I totally, Xavier McKinney went off of my radar as soon as he signed with Green Bay. You're right. You're fair.
I think offense, I had basically the same thing. My three receivers, I took Jerry Jeudy as one of my three receivers just because I think Jerry Jeudy is such an underrated route runner. Like, he's so crisp. His breaks and the way he cuts and everything, the way he's able to make guys bite on certain things, that would be extremely valuable. Now,
and he won't have any pads that you can grab onto.
Yeah, like, it's just, he might sneakily be your best receiver in this.
I loved Jerry Jeudy here at the Capstone. I thought that he was the best receiver of those three, and then Devontae just exploded in his final year. Jerry Jeudy just not really had a great NFL career.
He struggled. He got on at the end of last year, though.
But
I'm hopeful for this season.
You know, this is not a good person to compare him to, but his feet just remind me of Antonio Brown.
Oh, terrible person to compare him to, but as far as skill set,
the footwork and just how quick everything is and crisp everything is.
Yeah,
I really hope that he can find a lane in the NFL.
I think he found it a little bit the last four or five games of last season. He put up that one monster game where he had like almost 200 yards or something, I think, and three touchdowns, something. It was crazy. Hopefully he can, get it going a little bit this season. Were there any spots, in your opinion, on the Hunter's list? You know, we ran through all of them that would have been better if they had been filled by a former player. The only ones I could really think of are maybe Julio. If we get Julio in his prime on this team, I might take him over one of these wide receivers. And then maybe Antonio Langham, cornerback. But I don't really know. Bobby Humphrey, maybe running back.
I like it. I like Langham I'm partial to Mark Barron from OAU.
Oh, man, yeah.
Now, okay, yeah, if we're... Sorry, Jahad Campbell. If we're going all-time, Rolando McClain.
Yeah.
Rolando McClain cover was just so long. So long. I guess Derek Thomas can spell Will Anderson if you need him to.
Yeah, I thought that
Leroy Jordan gets out there.
Yeah, I think you get to the point where you start going so far back where it's like if we really drop these guys into today's game, they would be lost. Certain guys.
Some, yeah, maybe.
I don't know that Leroy Jordan's one, but I don't know. Football was pretty different then.
Yeah, but the job for him still go tackle the guys.
I mean, sure, yeah.
It might take him a little second.
It'd be
a lot
harder to catch those guys now.
I think it might take him some time to catch on, but once he...
I'm also forgetting, like, he is still, like, he's not playing against NFL players. He is playing against, for lack of a better term, normal people.
Yeah, exactly.
Who are these other countries getting for their flag football teams? Because it's not like they've been training. It's like,
we just figured out
flag football is happening. We got to get a team together. Who wants to play?
Right. This is a ridiculous concept.
It's insane.
And that for the NFL players to say, we want to do it, it makes it even more... Like, do you remember Pros vs. Joe's TV show? That was a horrible TV show.
It was so entertaining.
Yes, because all those old pros would just embarrass average people. And it's like that guy's been retired for 5 years, but he's still gonna dunk on your face.
I saw a video the other day of Brian Scalabrine going one on one with a dude in a New York basketball.
I'm closer court. To LeBron than you are to me.
And yeah, I mean, he cooked the guy like 11-0. It was crazy. Man, I miss that show. That was such a ridiculous concept. They should bring it back. I feel like this would be a perfect time. You just find some cartoon profile picture on Twitter, you bring him out to a field and you just let whoever you want. Let's get Aaron Donald out here and let him run an Oklahoma drill with him.
Yeah, you got enough desperate athletes that still need to cash a check that aren't on our... You think Antonio Brown wouldn't run routes?
I think the problem would just be getting him to show up. He'd agree to it all day. I don't know if you're actually going to get him to commit. Oh, man. Let's see if I had anything else for today. Oh, yeah. Alabama baseball. We got to talk about that just a little bit. Like I said, Joe, you were in Hoover in attendance this week. So first, I just want to ask you, overall vibe of the week, what was kind of the you know, just how was your experience in Hoover? The ballpark, how was the snacks, how was everything?
Well, I love the SEC baseball tournament because I think they do it really, really well. The parking is pretty easy when people aren't double parked. Getting in and out of the stadium, really, really easy. The ballpark's beautiful. Hoover Met, if you haven't been there, ballpark really is beautiful. Weather wasn't too hot so far this week. Yesterday was warm and then cooled off. It was a fun week. Alabama's now been eliminated. Winning against Missouri, losing to Tennessee. I'm still there the rest of the week for Vanderbilt. But what I think of the SEC tournament is that the league has gotten so good. Well, first off, they change it to single elimination because of Oklahoma and Texas, but also because of what I'm about to say. The league has gotten so good that almost all these teams are already in the NCAA tournament. Almost all these teams are already set in their position that this becomes a bit of an exhibition, a bit of a, well, if we win, we win. Yeah. If we lose, we lose. It's fine. We'll get ready for next week. And so I think they've made it single elimination due to the extra two teams, but also because I don't think these teams are laying it all out there. All, you know, not to say they're not trying to win, sure. But
I see what you're saying, though.
I mean, Rob Vaughn almost goes a bullpen day against Tennessee and loses big time. But I mean, you could have pressed the gas and asked Riley Quick to pitch on a sore arm. After, you know, and risks, big risks there, sure. You know, but he opted, you know, it's an exhibition. We can get there. You know, I think these programs, it's a great event. I think they love coming to Hoover. The baseball is awesome, but I don't know that teams are trying to kill each other to win or kill themselves to win. I think they will easily. I'll kill you, the opponent, but am I willing to go to the pain cave myself?
The SEC championship doesn't seem like it carries the same amount of weight in baseball as it does in like a football.
No.
You know? So like you said, Alabama started the week off with a win against Missouri. We're rewarded by dropping in the RPI rankings, like our friend Will Miller told us on your show this week. Regardless of that, you got to take on Tennessee Thursday. Vols entered on a bit of a cold streak, had dropped the last five series before that game, but it did not matter Wednesday. It did not matter, though. Alabama loses 15-10. Tennessee's bats just didn't stop. Now Alabama was able to, you know, keep it a little competitive for a while, but the pitching just wasn't there for Alabama, like Joe said. So now you sit in limbo, basically waiting to see if you will still be able to host a regional. The latest projections that I read said no. They had Alabama traveling to Fort Worth as a 2 seed with TCU, Texas, Rio Grande Valley, and Sacramento State.
Yeah, you had a real good year for Rob Vaughn. You won 40 games. You were undefeated in midweeks, but you still left a couple of games out there. I mean, you let Vanderbilt come back on you in the 8th and 9th inning. You blew a game to Florida a couple different times. You lost a couple games that you could have had. And so I think that, you know, stinks, but that's probably about fair. And that's probably about what it's going to be. I think that projects you're seeing Florida State, that TCU, and you're seeing Clemson, those three regionals.
Yeah, I think in their projections that I was reading, I think it had Ole Miss jumping Alabama for the spot to host, right? For like the last spot to host there. So, yeah,
Son of a gun.
Yeah. In more Diamond news, though, Alabama softball super regional matchup with Oklahoma starts today at 5 p.m. on ESPN2.
I think we're at 4 Central.
Or is it 4? Okay. I probably looked at it and it was 5 Eastern or something. But as it has been all season, it's kind of hard to tell which version of Alabama we're going to get. I think they have a chance to win. Obviously, they've done it before, but it will be very difficult for them. You can go check out Katie Windham's story on Bama Central, Alabama Crimson Tide on SI from this morning. Alabama softball playing with nothing to lose. OU, Oklahoma, four-time defending champs, 7 championships since 2013. Patrick Murphy says, in his press conference leading into this game, quote, "We have nothing to lose, right? Oklahoma, should win. They're favored. They're at home. All the things are in their favor. So all we're going to do is go out there and play our hardest with a lot of energy, have short-term memories, and if something bad happens, who cares? So what? Now what? And move on to the next pitch. I think that's a great, that's like the perfect mentality to have in this game, because it just shows me that, like, yeah, there's no bit of like false confidence. You kind of know exactly what you are going into it, and it's like, hey man, if we can do it, we can do it, but if not, it's okay. Maybe not necessarily it's okay, but just, I don't know. The cards are stacked against you here.
Oh, for sure. This is a number 2 overall seed, I think they are.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, just like last year against Tennessee, the only people that are expecting you to win, Patrick Murphy, are maybe some of the much more passionate fans. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say crazy, but much more passionate bunch.
Sure.
I think those with good perspective realize that, okay, you won the regional, just roll the dice, baby.
Yeah, yeah. That's going to be a tough one.
What do you make of Katie saying that Alabama winning the series in Tuscaloosa is a disadvantage this weekend because Oklahoma is, you know, we look for the chip, we look for the edge.
When she said that at first, you know, like it hit me and I was like, huh. But then as she explained it, it really did make a lot of sense. And I think she makes kind of a valid point, whereas...
Because I'm pretty sure Tennessee kicked Bama's butt in the regular season or last year, and then Bama wins the Super Regional.
Like, Oklahoma knows what they are. You know, they know what they are. They know what they've been. So to have that extra bit of motivation, like, it's just, I think it's, yeah, I totally agree with what she said. I think she nailed it. I think that's exactly right. As unfortunate as it is for Alabama, I do think it does not necessarily play into their favor that they have the win, because it just puts a chip on Oklahoma's shoulder. And it gives them just opportunity to adjust as to what... I understand it's a big gap between the two games, but like, I'm sure there's takeaways from the first series that you can apply to this, you know, to today and tomorrow and Sunday that will be useful.
Yeah, Alabama last year losing to Tennessee 5-0, 2-0, and then winning 1-0 in the regular season here in Tuscaloosa. So like, Tennessee beat their butt, won two games, kept them off the scoreboard, and then maybe had a fluke on Sunday. So when they came back to the turnaround,
yeah,
you know, it's gonna be fun.
I'm excited to watch.
I think the softball program, I think the softball team's, you know,
feels like they're trending upwards.
Trending upwards, but at this point. Like, here's what I don't like. One thing that drives me crazy about sports is championship or bust. Of course, you want to win a championship. Absolutely. That's the goal. But I think the real goal is maximizing your team, maximizing, you know, getting the most out of your team. I think that Murph's got it at this point. Is getting the most out of this team. The regional performance, the pitching performance, the cleaning up the errors. I mean, they only had like 3 errors in like the last 10 games. Like they've really, really cleaned up the errors. You still need more consistency at the plate for sure, and you still want to have more mental toughness in the circle on the whole. But I think that you're maximizing the team. Just like last year, Nato's. You run into UConn. That team maxed out. Team maxed out. I don't feel one bit bad about losing to UConn.
Didn't lose any sleep over that one.
Right. And so, girls, ladies, they play hard, they play well, and lose. Okay.
Yeah.
I think you should be still pretty pleased with what Patrick Murphy is doing in Tuscaloosa.
I agree. I think they're moving in the right direction. And, you know, we will see, you know, once you get a few more pieces in here, you know, the sky's the limit for Alabama, as it always has been. I mean, I still feel very confident in Patrick Murphy as the leader of this Alabama softball program. Oh, but before we shut it down today, I got to do a few more just little short things I saw this week that I wanted us to react to quickly. Nick Saban takes home his first sports Emmy, takes home the award for outstanding personality, emerging on-air talent. I'm just glad it wasn't Pat McAfee. You know, I didn't need to see one more feather in his cap, didn't need to see any more of Pat McAfee than I already do. Good on Nick Saban. I do believe that I think he loves being on TV, and I think he is much more of a media darling than he ever led us to believe.
Yeah, I think, take this and look at it in retrospect. We always used to say that Coach Saban, oh, he's talking to his team through the media.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd get people, he's so mean to the media. could we maybe shift our perspective that he's it was almost playing a TV character in those press conferences?
Honestly.
I mean,
I think you're probably, there's some truth to that.
And maybe he treated some of us media members, I don't think he ever treated us bad. No.
No, I don't.
But I think that sometimes, some of the questions, look, yesterday Tim Corbin was asked, how much fun are you having for this year? And Corbin goes, what's fun when you win? It's like some of these coaches, like, you've coached long enough to where
you don't have time for the BS anymore.
Right, right,
just,
right.
I'm over it. Yeah, I'm not here to do the
BS. You remember
BS
Austin?
Questions.
What do you think this performance means for Jalen Milroe? Is this a crystal ball? I don't know what it means. We'll see next week. You know, again, Austin was doing a good job, sure, right here for Bama Central 2 years ago. But, like, I think Coach Saban very much, in every time that he was on stage, I'm in character.
Yeah, definitely. Nate Oates hires a new assistant this week, dipping into the NBA pool once again. Gets Chris Fleming from the Portland Trailblazers. He's coached in Germany, spent time with a lot of NBA teams, like I said, most recently with the Trailblazers. Not a whole lot of information on him. I know he coached Dirk Nowitzki very, very briefly, thanks to our friend Katie Windham, who let us know that yesterday. Don't think that that's going to have any too much credence on what he can do here at Alabama, but I think he's a solid assistant and should be for Nate Oates. I will continue to trust in Nate Oates. And we missed it when we were talking about baseball a minute ago. I did want to mention this. Alabama's Carson Osmer was named a semifinalist for National Pitcher of the Year. You can go read about it. I think Will Miller wrote about it on Bama Central, Alabama Crimson Tide on SI. So go check it out there. But Joe, unless you've got anything else, that's about all I've got for today.
Well, I think that's about it for us.
Well, good. Let's I want to thank everybody for listening. I want to remind you all to follow me and Joe on Twitter at MAWoods_ at JoeGaither6. Make sure you subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon, wherever you get your podcasts from. Leave us a 5-star rating. We will be back next week to talk more Crimson Tide news on the All Things Bama Podcast.
Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line? Now 20% lower. Family plans? Also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number, not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.